Let us go back east and bring in one of our favorites. He knows baseball cold. I love talking the game with him, and that is Paul White. Paul, how are you?
Happy Easter, Marty. Happy Passover.
Yeah, same to you. Did you like that little blurb about the soccer fields out here?
Oh, yeah. Between the leg of lamb and the soccer, that pretty much sums up my weekend.
Yeah, really, because River Islands is a master plan community, and they're they're part of our show, and they've just opened up the soccer fields. And actually, what about your son? Your son is a tremendous soccer player. He's got a future in college, doesn't he?
Yeah, off to Penn State next year, and on a high school team that we whisper it, but they tell us around the rank number one in the state and have a state title in mind. We'll see. You get to those single elimination things, anything can happen. But good way to finish up the high school career.
Yeah, soccer's been a big part of your life, I know, as a parent. You and your wife going to so many games. But you have time to watch baseball, and I know that. And, you know, this is the beginning of our fourth week of games, our fourth weekend of shows. But, Paul, I'll tell you, it's no more clear to me now what's happening than it was a couple of weeks ago. And I think that's part of the story of April. And you could give me some of your highlights, but I'll start with Christian Yelich. How about that one?
My goodness, yes. I mean, that's ridiculous. Like Ryan Braun, I think, made the comment the other day. He said, I have never seen a player this good, this consistently for this long. You get a hot streak, you have a good week. This is a whole month now, and it's just ridiculous. And you know, you're right. We don't know much about teams right now. I was just looking at it this morning. There are six teams in the National League that are under 500. Only six, and those include the Rockies, the Cubs, and the Nationals.
Wow.
Teams that you figure are definitely well over 500 teams, and it's the opposite in the American League. There are only six teams over 500, and the teams under, I mean, obviously Boston with that horrible start, the Yankees are at 500, you know, the A's are creeping along under 500. But I think especially in the National League, there's going to be no way to handicap this for a long, long time into the season. I really don't think so.
Yeah, because the Giants are in the middle of all this. They've now gone 22 games without scoring in the first inning. They're 6-69. They've established the National League record for opening a season. The Major League record of those famous 1948 Chicago White Sox, I'm sure with Luke Appling and others at that time. But look at that, and then the futility in the Giants' offense. But then look at Max Scherzer. What happened to him?
Just, you know, if you look, he'll have a couple of these every year, but against the Marlins, my goodness, yeah, totally lit up. And that's been what strength the Nationals have had this season has been their starting pitching. Sean Doolittle has been great at the end, but getting from their starters to the ninth inning has been a nightmare, and that's been the case on so many good teams this year. I mean, you talk about the Giants not scoring in the first, the whole world's scoring in the sixth, seventh, and eighth, and we're just seeing some crazy things, and teams are being reminded that you can't count on bullpens from season to season. You can't say, our bullpen was lights out last year, therefore it will be this year, because for all the metrics we have, we can't measure the wear and tear on individual guys out of bullpens. We saw Milwaukee run theirs into the ground last year. Hader, until he threw the home run to Kiki Hernandez the other night, had been great. But the rest of their bullpen has struggled. Jeremy Jeffress started the year injured and with a weak arm. I mean, there's a lot of problems around the leagues, and we can't measure that. You know, we don't know which guy can do that for 1 year and then flame out, 2 years and then flame out. And historically, we've seen these guys where they have those rough year or two, if they back off and don't pitch that late. Look at a guy like Will Smith. Ask him about his career. They just ran him into the ground in Milwaukee years ago. He regrouped and has become a good relief pitcher again.
Look at Ken Giles. He's in town here with Toronto, and he imploded in Houston, and now he's back throwing gas for Toronto.
But it's like those guys, they need a season where by necessity, because they're not effective, their teams back off of them. The workload eases up, and you see guys who've resurrected their careers 3 and 4 times. A guy like Tyler Clippard that comes to mind, But when I remember when late Kevin Towers was the GM in San Diego, he used to say, "Oh, you just use the guys up, move them on. If you can trade them, great, and bring in the next group of live arms, because you can't be sure who's going to be good next year."
Well, the Padres really did that too. They had always had those three guys. Bruce Bochy made a career.
I remember the year Towers was gloating. He traded Scott Linebrink to the White Sox. He says he's done. He's at least done for a year or two. He might bounce back, but for now, there's nothing.
Look at Gregerson. That's another one.
Yeah, that's another one. I remember a Toronto executive one year told me, don't ever pick up a relief pitcher after Joe Torre's had him.
Very good. That's interesting. Yeah, it's sort of an inside part of the game. And look at Melanson.
He's perfect. I mean, injuries are part of that, but how much of those injuries are the wear and tear and the use?
Yeah, and he's trying to get it back here. Did you see him against the Nationals at all? Did you watch
him? Yeah, yeah. I mean, you start to see, even over the last couple of years, once in a while you'd see that spark of, ooh, that's why he was so good. And it looks like there's more of that, Can you count on that to close 3-4 times a week yet? It's good to have some other options yet, but, you get stuck with a guy because you've got his contract, so you've got to kind of baby him and bring him along and hope that you get there.
Paul White with us, of course. We love talking with Paul as often as we can just to get the feel of the game. Albert Pujols, a big RBI last night for him. He went past the great Babe Ruth into fifth place. Lou Gehrig and Barry Bonds just an RBI or two ahead of him. Then you get to A-Rod. You got probably need another year for that. And Hank Aaron, you need about 3 years for that.
Well, Albert's got those years on his contract.
I know. But, boy, Albert Pujols, it's funny. A great player. I mean, yeah. Paul, this is one of those. But there's some reason going to Anaheim and being in that park and that, I don't know, he sort of fell off the radar. And I realized that he had to do it. That was the offer. But, boy, where'd he go?
Yeah, he became a decent player. And part of it, too, he became a rather somewhat immobile player, a guy whose best position was hitter. And you started to see that. that's the hard part of those kind of deals. And those are the deals we're not seeing anymore, that the players have had to come around to realize you don't get those deals where you're rewarded for what you did in the past and you're overpaid in terms of years. Miguel Cabrera is another guy who it's kind of sad to watch right now, injury issues and trying to come back. But the problem with Pujols, I think, for a lot of young fans is going to be this is what they're going to remember.
Yeah.
And this is one of the great pure hitters, certainly of our generation, and first ballot Hall of Famer, absolutely. But we're going to remember him, or a lot of people are, as this sort of lumbering, first base once in a while, hits some impressive home runs, but doesn't put up the huge numbers, doesn't put up a batting average anymore. And because of that contract, he's going to do, in that ballpark too, probably going to do 5, 6, 7 years of that at the end of his career. And I think that's going to hurt him in a lot of people's eyes. But the people had to face him during those years when they were knocking Houston out of those great playoff series. Just a great, great player.
And the home run he hit off Brad Lidge?
I was there that night. That was just stunning.
It's still going.
Yeah, believe me, if the roof had been open that night, you're right, it landed in Dallas.
Wow. Well, that's the thing. He's going to have all the numbers. He'll be first ballot, obviously, Hall of Famer. I don't think he'll be a unanimous one because there's always that hint of steroids.
Right.
Not that it's anything dramatic in the hint, but that'll prevent him from being unanimous. But he deserves as much as anybody for what he's accomplished in the game. But you're right. You go into that spin of the last 4 or 5 years, and it does take something away from him. You have a teenage son. I have a son, Aaron, who's going to be 30. But bat flipping, Cole Tucker doing a curtain call that looked like he was a star of the musical Hamilton. you know, coming out almost to the coaching lines after hitting the home run yesterday. Is it okay for baseball? Is this where we're going? Is it okay? Young people love it, and we just have to get used to it.
I think so, to a great extent. I mean, it's hard. Where do you draw the line? What is in your face taunting, and what is celebrating? Remember, baseball's got to be careful now. They're the ones that sanction this "Let the Kids Play" campaign.
Right.
Okay, it's out there. You know, you've got Griffey with his hat on backwards saying "Let the kids play." Well, then a guy does something, and you stick it in his ear, and you have the benches clear, and the old school thing is still there again. So, yeah, there is a fine line. You know, what is showing up and what is celebrating? I think celebrating is okay, and the more players you talk to about it, you realize that. The one that gets you in trouble is when baseball still hasn't come around to talking smack. We're not doing cornerback versus wide receiver trash talking. We're not doing Michael Jordan on the court trash talking yet. And that, you know, I think that one is still a little difficult for a lot of people in baseball. And the guy who was the manager at in a minor league team years ago, a guy named George Samish, used to pitch in the Twins organization, and he played baseball in the Southern League in the years that Michael Jordan was in Birmingham. And this guy was a soft toss lefty to like 80 something, you know, junk. And he said he was throwing one night, and there was some guy screaming from the Birmingham bench, just ripping him for his garbage. Can't repeat the stuff he was saying. He said it was dark in the dugout. He says, I couldn't figure out who it was. He said, I walked over and challenged the dugout, and Michael Jordan stood up. He said, that's what he did in basketball. He thought it was okay.
Yeah.
So it's been there for a long time, but yeah, baseball is still the most conservative of the sports, and as long as some of those managers and coaches are still out there, and it's going to be tough for it to come all the way around.
Well, you used a word, I think I'm going to use it too, taunting.
Yeah.
There's excitement, there's celebration, and maybe the sportsmanship that baseball has vis-a-vis other sports that may not have quite the sportsmanship of baseball. Maybe taunting is the key word. Maybe that's the one word that baseball wants, and maybe that's okay to prevent that.
Yeah, and I think the other thing, the big difference is baseball is still an individual sport where the one-on-one is the closest one-on-one we have is pitcher versus batter. I mean, every once in a while there'd be a slide at second, a slide at home, and we've kind of legislated a lot of that out of the game. But in the other sports, you're in that guy's face. He's basically in your shorts playing basketball, and he's supposed to be. And on the football field, it's hand-to-hand combat. There's none of that in baseball, so it's different. It's a whole different mindset because you don't physically confront the guy that you're playing against.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, yes, you got a weapon, you got a baseball and a baseball bat if you want to take it that far. And the only other sport that has that is hockey, but it's a very different kind of thing. And you know, that's why the famous Jose Bautista bat flip against the Rangers, that one's okay with me because that was an ultimate moment. That was a playoff game-winning, fantastic moment. He, you know, that's fine. But the guy who's trotting around the bases talking trash at the pitcher, or the pitcher who turns and starts talking trash at the batter.
Yeah.
As a guy, you know, that's, you know, some of those Hunter Strickland incidents, you know, that you guys know well.
Yeah.
You know, those are the ones that I have a problem with.
Yeah, and probably baseball is right, I guess. It's a good topic again for the postgame show. You know, how you do it. Well, what's the fine line? What's good? What's bad? Should there even be a fine line where you just do what you want? So I don't know.
Well, you sent me that. You sent me that one podcast you had last year. You know, younger people talking about, hey, this stuff's okay.
Right.
You know?
Right. Boy, mid inning relief. Thank you for remembering that.
Yes.
We have fun
with
that.
It was great. It was great. Yeah.
I appreciate it. Well, the Giants going to Toronto next. Vlad Jr. We just had Ken Korak on. He said, well, maybe he's not coming up so fast. Is that a done deal? Vlad Jr. Tuesday in Toronto.
I don't know if it's a done deal. I think there's a really good chance. If nothing else, they're gonna need a little jolt. You know, they've played okay. I guess you can say they've played as well as they probably could expect. Well, I think they're 10-12 now. They've actually won three in a row, and they're scoring some runs. But I think they have to be a little careful that there's going to be a lack of interest in Toronto. First of all, the hockey team and the basketball team are rolling along in the playoffs. The Blue Jays weren't expected to be very good, and they're just mediocre. I think there may be a feel that from the front office, hey, we need a little jolt for the fans. Hey, look at us over here. Look at here comes Vladdy Jr. Yeah. So if it's not Tuesday, it's really soon because they need that.
And they're a young team. All the name. Pilar is here, obviously. And, you know, the names you've seen, Kendrys Morales and among others, they're all gone.
You got Rowdy Tellez now.
Seriously, he's from the area here. Could have gone to USC. You got Hernandez from the Astros.
I like Billy McKinney. He's a good catalyst kind of player.
Been around for years with the A's originally.
Yeah.
Grichik is there.
Right.
I mean, Freddie Galvis. So this is not your father's Toronto Blue Jays, let me tell you.
And it's another team. They've got a few starting pitchers. They're really thin on the pitching side. When Stroman's good, and he's been a lot this year, he's lights out. The other guys are hit and miss. The bullpen, you mentioned Giles. Same thing that so many of these teams are having. The starters are going to give you six. And what do we do with the seventh and the eighth?
Yeah.
You know? And it's a mess for them, and it is for a lot of teams.
Boy, amazing. Great to talk to you, Paul. I love having you on. It's great just to catch up. It's a perfect Sunday morning of catching up and what's going on around the game. There's so many other things we can touch on. The last one, maybe, what's up with DeGrom and the elbow?
That one's scary. I mean, that's a season breaker for the Mets because, you know, they're going to be in that, what I thought was and still think will be the best race in baseball, the four teams in the NL East. But they're only going to be in that if their starting pitching is devastating. And this is devastating in another way. We don't know yet, but we don't. Obviously they're taking the real conservative route because they know you can't take a chance. They need this guy. I mean, nobody's going to run away with that division in the next 6 weeks. So make sure he's right.
Mm. Well, it's going to be interesting to see. Hopefully no surgery for him. He's already had Tommy John.
Yeah, exactly. And, and the second time, it can be done. Look at Patrick Corbin.
I know.
It can be done, but that's scary.
I know. Hey, great having you on. Have a good holiday, as I said. And if you're in the Bay Area, U.S. Restaurant for Leg of Lamb. We'll save some for you.
That's right. My wife's got one going today. So,
all right. Have a good day. Thanks,
Paul. Take care, Marty.
All right. That is a great Paul White. More coming up right here on the Sports Leader.